everybody. This is Kennedy Hawk from Marvel Champions Monthly, a somewhat monthly podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game by Fantasy Flight Games. Today, we have a super special episode with you. I have only one co-host with me, Crimson. How's it going, Crimson?
Hey, what's up? Doing great.
Apparently, Lester and Americano are working or something. So we had to find another person who could do their job while recording with us. So we have a very special guest with us today. The designer of the Black Widow Hero Kit, Matt Newman. Welcome,
hey,
Matt.
Everybody. Yeah, sorry for talking over you. hi. Thank you for having me on.
We're super excited because we love Marvel Champions, but we also love Arkham Horror.
Me too.
We figured. So you had a pretty cool opportunity to get to design sort of the hero kit for one of the heroes in Marvel Champions. So we thought we would talk a little bit in detail about this hero pack. But first, we wanted to get to know you. So it's really great to have you on the show. Can you tell us about your role at FFG in the card game department, the other card games you've worked on, and how you stumbled into this card game, just so the listeners get a frame of reference?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, my name is Matt Newman. I'm a senior card game developer at Fantasy Flight Games. I've been with the company a little over 7 years now. I joined in 2012 to work on Lord of the Rings, the card game. At the time, I was working on their Nightmare decks. If you're not familiar, there's like a series of Nightmare decks that are designed to enhance existing scenarios to make them harder and to kind of, you know, bring back the nostalgia of playing these like 3 or 4 year old scenarios. So you kind of go back and revisit them in a new light. So they hired me on to do that. And then I started working on cycle design for Lord of the Rings. And then when we got started developing Arkham, they brought me on to, it was me and Nate French who designed that game. And pretty much been working on Arkham ever since. That was like 2016, I want to say. Or maybe we started working on it in 2015. I'm the lead designer lead developer for Arkham Horror. Marvel presents such an interesting opportunity because the way that Marvel's set up, like every hero feels pretty distinct and different from one another. And they really wanted to make those distinctions clear. So it's a kind of an easy thing to do to like loan out designs to other people in the department. And so I had the opportunity to work on Black Widow, as you said.
Awesome. So it seems like Black Widow fits right into the whole Arkham theme, all this Norse stuff and scary mystical investigations. So do you have a favorite hero from Marvel or a favorite villain?
In the lore or in the game?
In the lore, yeah.
Oh, geez. I mean, that's really tough. Like, Marvel has so many different characters. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of characters that are so cool. I could honestly talk for the entire length of this podcast about just like which characters are cool. I grew up on X-Men.
Yes.
So I'm a big X-Men fan. I like Shadowcat a lot. I think I'm on record as saying that Shadowcat is my favorite Marvel character. What else? I mean, Wolverine too. I used to, when I was like in a playground growing up, I used to make believe I was Wolverine because I'm really short. And I loved that Wolverine was like a short guy, like a short hairy guy who could just kick ass. That was great. So I really liked Wolverine as well. What else? And then ever since the movie started, I started getting really into a lot of the other characters. So I'm a lot more into like Iron Man and Cap than I used to be. I used to kind of like, oh, Cap is, you know, whatever, he's Cap. He's kind of boring. But now I love him. I think he's awesome, you know?
It's funny that you said Shadowcat, because when those silhouettes came out to preview these character packs, it was Black Widow's alter ego, and everybody was like, that so looks like Shadowcat.
Oh, that's totally Shadowcat. Yeah, I remember, I always looked at like what people think the silhouettes are going to be, because I find it entertaining, because I know what they are. And that one was really funny, because I know a lot of people, I had said on record that Shadowcat was my favorite Marvel character, so a lot of people were like, oh my god, that's totally Shadowcat, and Matt Newman designer, and it's Shadowcat. And I was like, why do you think that? And they're like, oh, ponytail.
I would have put money on Shadowcat. I would have lost.
Hey, she's got a ponytail. No other characters have a ponytail, I guess.
I was Shadowcat or Invisible Woman because of the fade out. You guys did like the fade on the bottom, which Invisible Woman, whenever she goes invisible, she fades from the bottom up.
Right. Yeah. I think they picked some clever poses, too, for those characters. It's kind of hard to tell what they're doing exactly. So, yeah.
they were great, though. We love them.
Yeah, it was funny. My Google history search results right now, if I type in female superhero, it says ponytail, and because it's trying to figure out all the things I was looking at.
That's awesome.
So what's your favorite MCU movie or show?
Oh, I think, so my favorite movie is definitely Ragnarok, Thor Ragnarok, because I thought that that movie blew me away. I thought it was like 1,000% better than it had any right to be, you know, like, they really reinvented the character and the style and the aesthetic of Thor. So I love that movie. But beyond that, I just love the two Infinity War movies are great. The Iron Man movies in general are great, obviously. Winter Soldier is probably my second favorite movie because I thought the tone was so on point, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, and like honestly, like really important subject matter. Whereas like superhero movies are usually kind of goofy, but like Winter Soldier really kind of like hit home, I thought, you know.
That's one of the things with like X-Men. X-Men is also my favorite series, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is because of it's like Star Trek for comic books because it has so much social information in it that is perceived in a different way. But if you look for it, it's there.
And I agree. Yeah. As a kid growing up, like watching the X-Men cartoon, I liked it because it was like, oh, it's like a, you know, superhero high school kind of drama. I like that. That's cool. But really, the best thing about X-Men is the social commentary. Like, it's so poignant.
Well, let's deep dive into Black Widow lore and the design process. So how were you first approached about designing Black Widow? Did the Marvel team just say, hey, pick a hero to design? Or did they come with you to you saying, hey, here's a hero we want you to design? How did that go?
It kind of a little both, but neither really. So essentially we have like a line plan that's pretty extensive. They put together like a huge list of heroes and kind of like sorted them out into like a timeline, you know, an alterable timeline, but a rough timeline. So it was kind of the six characters in this like cycle were pretty set in stone. Not set in stone, but like they had picked out six characters essentially that they thought would make for a well-rounded first group of heroes to inject into the game, right? And so they weren't like, hey, pick any hero you want. But essentially they were like, yeah, if anyone wants to do like a guest design, we, you know, more than appreciate the help. And I think it'll make for a really good product. So, you know, you can pick one of these six. So that's why I picked Black Widow, because she was my favorite out of those ones. My favorite out of those ones that weren't already being worked on. But actually, no, Black Widow is my favorite out of those ones, now that I think about it. But it definitely wasn't like pick any hero you want, because it would probably be something completely out of left field.
Yeah, and I have to admit, Black Widow is well done.
Oh thank you.
when you were making her, did you have the notion that she would be so good as protection that she is? I mean, like I was gonna go Justice all the way because I'm a mm-hmm. Justice guy, but she is phenomenal in protection with the mm-hmm. synth suit and other upgrades that protection offers.
Yeah, I kind of wanted her to be pretty versatile, in the same way that like Cap is pretty versatile, where he can kind of take on whatever aspect he wants. Mainly because I think that that's one of the strengths of Marvel. I think like one of the coolest things about this game is you pick a hero and you pick an aspect and you smash them together, and so whatever hero you pick takes on a sort of different style depending on what aspect you choose, and like different cards become more important in your kit. Like if you're playing Black Widow protection, your synth suit and like Attackrobatics becomes really important because you want to cancel damage. But if you're playing like Justice Black Widow, then like different cards become like the important cards that you want to see. So I thought that that's really cool in this game in general. So I kind of wanted to make sure that Sheik would be good in any aspect, you know?
Totally. That does seem to be one of the strengths of Marvel, that you can sort of take any cards from your spheres or aspects and mix them with a hero. Is there anything else that you did when designing Black Widow that felt very different than when you were designing like an investigator in Arkham?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like Arkham is a very different game tonally from Marvel. The big difference being in Arkham, it's designed to make you feel like you don't have all of the tools that you need, or you're kind of like under fire from the beginning. you're just like an average person, or in some cases like an average person with magic, so not very average, but you're weak. You know, like you don't have full control over the situation. You're not meant to feel like you have full control. The monsters outnumber you, they're stronger than you, they can, you know, the things are incomprehensible, etc. So it's very different from Marvel, where Marvel, we want you to feel like you're powerful. We want you to feel like you are this character, and these characters are badass, you know? Like Black Widow is, even though she doesn't have like superpowers in the same vein as like, you know, like Thor, she's not like a god or whatever, she's still like S-tier human being, like the most, like the best at, you know, every aspect of what she does. She's like the best spy in the entire world, you know what I mean? So like peak human condition, you know what I mean?
Straight up a ninja.
Yeah. So you need to feel like that when you're playing. If you feel like an investigator in Arkham playing Marvel, it's not, you know, it's not the same. And so a lot of that is kind of injected all over the Marvel design philosophy, making you feel like you're powerful, but also making it feel like you're up against a lot as well. You know, both you and the villain are super powered.
Super entity beings.
Yeah.
Smartfest. One of our listeners asked if there was a Arkham investigator that had to pair up with Black Widow, which Arkham investigator would it be?
Oh, that's easy. Trish Scarborough. The spy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, she's, or maybe like Roland Banks, like someone who can do like detective work, you know?
Totally. And is there a scenario from Arkham that Black Widow would excel at, thematically or mechanically?
Possibly one of the scenarios in the upcoming Innsmouth conspiracy box, because that's got some kind of like a noir investigative feel to it. Ooh. And as a spy, it would kind of make sense if she were doing that sort of spy work, and there's kind of like a government conspiracy angle going on, so that would make sense, I think. Yeah.
Cool. I know I read an article from you, or we read an article recently, right before this, about storytelling while playing a card game. So when you were designing Black Widow, did you have like a specific story in your mind about how you would play Black Widow out in the game, or is there like a specific set of comic lore you read to like design her kit?
Yeah, I think so. The thing with Black Widow, I think, that sets her apart from other characters is that she is a spy. She does her like, she can fight pretty well as an Avenger, just like, you know, kicking ass and taking names in a group fight. But really what she does her best work is like behind the scenes, you know, undercover. I think the best Black Widow stories are the ones where she's like solo on her own doing behind the enemy lines kind of wet work, right? So I wanted to kind of capture that feeling in the card game of she does a lot of her best work on the villain turn when the villain's doing his thing and she's disrupting what's going on. You know what I mean? She's like a disruptor control sort of character. She's not the kind of character who just comes in and just like does, you know, 18 damage in a row and just like bum 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 and then like stays in hero mode the entire game, right?
She's certainly more subtle than Thor, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. She should feel more subtle than most or all of the characters, I would hope. Just because of that's kind of like her style, you know?
Did you have a favorite card in Black Widow's kit that you were designing, or any funny stories when you were designing a card that you can remember? You had to redo a design iteration a couple times.
Well, in general, I mean, we went through, in general, we go through a lot of iterations for all of our card designs. I can't really talk about any of the past designs, but I do love that ultimately it's, you know, I was in charge of like this pack, like doing the initial design, but ultimately Caleb and Boggs took over like the development of the pack and like the play testing and making sure that everything was well balanced and that sort of thing. And they had the final call on a lot of stuff. So early on, I was like, you know, I want this card to feel like it's like an acrobatic attack, you know, like it's an attack, but she's being really acrobatic about it. And I don't remember who came up with the tacrobatics, but it wasn't me. I know that much. And for like months, I was like, are we going to change the tacrobatics? Caleb was like, no, I don't think so. I like it. And it still is a tacrobatics. Definitely thought that was going to change at some point, but it didn't.
when you were designing those originally, did you have the preparations as hero only, or were they able to go off as alter ego also?
Well, initially, they weren't preparations per se, but we kind of ran into this problem where, like, you know, like I said before, I wanted Black Widow to do a lot of stuff on the villain turn, but we ran into this problem where in playtesting, players were disappointed that they weren't really doing anything on their turn. You know what I mean? They were kind of just like holding on to their hand. And that's not fun, right? Like, you don't want it to come around to your turn and you just be like, I guess I do nothing. You know what I mean? Like, all of my stuff is villain phase stuff, right? So that's where the preparation cards came in. It's like, well, what if you played them out on your hero turn and then you triggered them on the villain turn? That was actually Caleb's idea, and it was really good. From there, it was like, okay, well, do we want them to only be Black Widow cards, or do we want them to also appear in the aspects? And I thought it would be cool if they were in both, right? That way, depending on the aspect you choose, Black Widow can take on a little bit of a different flavor with the different preparations that are included in her pack, and that we might develop later, right? If later on we create a new aggression preparation or something, then aggression characters are excited because preparations are just good on their own. But also Black Widow's excited because all of a sudden she has a new tool to play with for her kit in aggression mode. You know what I mean?
And Spider-Woman could be excited too with that aggression / justice combination.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because then you can go Coulson, get that aggression preparation. Oh, Coulson's so good.
Yeah, Coulson's great. Yeah. And like, you know, ultimately, because she's paired with Justice, a lot of the preparations that are included are in Justice, but I think that she's just as strong in any of the other aspects, given the preparations that are included in her pack. And, you know, most of her preparations are coming out of her hero pack as well. So even if you didn't include any other preparations, she'd still feel pretty strong, I think.
Yeah. I agree.
That was one question someone had about traits when you're designing a set of cards. How early on do you start assigning traits to a card? Does that kind of happen after you've sort of designed the pack, or did you sort of pick up front that you wanted to have some sort of traited mechanic?
It depends on how crucial that trait is to the design of the character. So for Black Widow, it's pretty crucial. Obviously, like, all of her stuff kind of centers around this preparation trait. So it was very important to nail down what the traits on every card would be pretty early. But for other characters, it might not be quite as important. So like, another example would be like, Cap has a lot of Avenger themed stuff in his pack, which makes sense. He's Captain America. So I think it makes sense for that to be nailed down pretty early. But for some characters, maybe it doesn't matter as much. It's not crucial to their design. So the traits can kind of be added later on, like late in the playtesting, like, this card doesn't have a trait, we should add a trait to it. And that's something that we usually do in like a peer review step.
This question can be answered with either Arkham context or Marvel context. How do you know if a hero or investigator is too powerful when testing it? And does your definition of sort of like too powerful or not powerful enough change throughout the life cycle of a game?
I mean, that's tough. Yeah. Like, obviously, we rely a lot on our playtesters, and we have a really great group of playtesters, both Arkham and Marvel, who will play as often as they can and submit feedback. And without them, I don't think we'd really have a good handle on the balance, because we rely on the opinion of the playtesters to make sure that things are good. And even then, like, a lot of times what I like to say is, and this is true, ultimately, no matter how good playtesting we get, no matter how many playtesters we have, no matter how long they spend on it, as soon as it's released, it's going to be seen by like 100,000 times as many people as we have playtesters. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Like, if we sell 20,000 copies of a pack, that's so many more times the number of playtesters that we have. So really not enough playtesting in the world can get it just perfectly right. So we do the best that we can and ensure that it's good. And obviously we play it ourselves to make sure we don't just 100% only listen to the playtesters.
And there's people like me who look through every card and then try to break it in any way possible.
Oh yeah. Which is very valuable. in playtesting at least. Sometimes it's just kind of a feeling, like, oh, this, you know, this feels too strong. I can't really put my finger on it. Other times it's like, just raw numbers, you know, like if this character can pump out 20 damage per turn easily, that might be a problem if you compare it to another character and it's just not as good. But a lot of times the numbers can be deceiving, especially with a game like this where you have your whole hero kit. You can't just compare two cards, you know, like you can't just compare like, oh, you know, Iron Man's or like Captain America's Super Soldier Serum does this and Black Widow's Gauntlet does this. This one's weaker. You can't really do that because the context is everything, you know?
Yeah.
That's a whole cool design space. You have to balance like a set of 15 cards instead of like individual cards, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, it's cool and it's hard. And it's, you know, similar thing in Arkham too, where like you have the investigator's front side, their stats, their backside, their deck building, their Elder Sign effect, and their two signature cards all factoring into their balance. And it's even more so with Marvel. You have 15 cards, and you have the alter ego side and the hero side. Sometimes the alter ego is really powerful, but the hero side isn't, or vice versa, or whatever. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of stuff to take into account, you know?
That's also one of the things I really loved about Black Widow is she feels like she wants to go back into Natalia a lot to get the heals, to just get a moment of respite.
Yep. Yeah, that was intentional. We kind of like different heroes. We want to feel different in terms of how often they need to flip into their alter ego form. And with Black Widow, it makes sense that she would spend a lot of her time not out and about as Black Widow. She spends a lot of time undercover. So it's important to make sure that she was flipping pretty often. So we tried to incentivize that as much as we could.
I know you mentioned that you mainly worked on the hero kit, so the 15 hero cards that come with Black Widow. How much of the aspect sort of design was going on in parallel, or does that happen sort of after you finalized the hero kit?
I think we typically start with the hero kit first and see how that's playing, see if the themes are working. If we need to redesign stuff, I'd rather start with the hero kit and redesign that before getting into the aspect cards, because ideally we want the aspect cards to feel like they work kind of in tandem with the hero cards as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And with any hero, right? So
yeah. Yeah. But sometimes I do think that there have been times before where we've just designed the entire pack in a whole. That would probably be a question that Boggs or Caleb would be able to answer better than I would. Cause you know, I've only worked on the one.
And also if a card's going to get broken, it's usually going to be an aspect card. Because it's a card that can go anywhere versus a card that has to be with a hero.
Yeah, and that's why with the hero cards, we can push the power level a lot more than we can do with the aspect cards. We can make a card that's like, wow, this card would be totally busted if it was in anyone else's deck, because it can't be in anyone else's deck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm thinking of some of those Spider-Woman aspect cards. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very, they're tasty.
Potent.
Yeah, the Stun and Confuse one, I think, is really good.
Another question from listeners, when you're designing, and I don't know if you worked on the design of the Nemesis for Black Widow, does the Nemesis design sort of come in parallel with the hero? You're designing hero cards, so you want to find weaknesses for those cards, or how does that play out? Or how did it play out for Black Widow?
I think ideally you want the Nemesis to challenge what the hero does in different ways, or at the very least make for like impactful decisions, right? So, for example, like Thor likes to kill minions, so we gave him a minion that could be unkillable. You know, if you're unlucky.
Loki is so mean.
Annoying, yeah. He's cruel. Which you know fits. For Black Widow, you know, you end up playing out a lot of preparation cards, so we wanted to have a character that would kind of force you to think about like, oh, do I really want to play out more? Like if he comes out, it's going to be pretty gnarly. So he has cards that discard upgrades. He's got, you know, his own stats increase with every preparation that you have. But obviously it doesn't call out preparation by name because he could end up engaged with someone else too.
Yep.
So yeah, I think the best nemesis is it's hard to say, are the ones where you constantly have them in the back of your mind, just like the hero would, you know?
Totally. Very thematic. What if this character shows up
like
right
Vulture now? Vulture could show up at any second, you know what I mean? Ruin my day.
Yeah. On the live stream, you mentioned you really liked Black Widow with protection. So are there specific protection cards that you really enjoy with Black Widow? I think it's thematic because a lot of the protection cards take place during the villain turn, just like her preparations. So,
Yeah. I really like, let's see, I might have to actually pull up some cards because I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of Marvel the way I do with Arkham. but I really like any card that forces the villain to attack you or to, you know, you defend for someone else can be really good with her because she's got that built in readying. So that's cool. I also like, wait, no, that's a justice card. See, this is the problem that I'm running into. obviously Indomitable is just always good for any protection character. Armored Vest is useful to get her defense up to like ridiculous value. Because ideally you don't want to be taking damage with her. That's the tricky part with playing Black Widow. Protection's risky because she only has 9 hit points. Like that's low. That's really low. So you need to make sure that you're not taking damage at all. And I've definitely played games with Black Widow where I'm playing protection. I just don't take damage. Because between the synth suit, the armored vest and attack robotics, you can just like, oh, I'll just cancel 7 damage, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I play her very greedily protection.
Yeah. So I actually have it pulled up now. Yeah, so like energy barrier is nice for, again, more cancellation and reflecting the damage back is nice because it combos with some of her other stuff. I'm imagining a situation where you defend an attack or you don't defend an attack. You use attack robotics to cancel it, some of the damage, do some damage back, use energy barrier to cancel the last bit of damage. Reflect that back, and then you also trigger Widowmaker, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of pinging.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of little, like, she doesn't do big chunks of damage like a lot of characters do. Yeah, like She-Hulk or like Thor. She just kind of does enough whittle damage over time that you get to the point where it's like, wow, I've done 30 damage. Like, when did that happen? Get Behind Me is the one I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, between that and Grappling Hook, you can kind of just always be prepared for whatever treachery could come up at any moment.
Do you have a favorite hero from Marvel Champions and aspect to play that is not Black Widow?
Yes, definitely. And obviously I can't talk about anything that hasn't been announced yet, but luckily Hawkeye is like really good. I love Hawkeye. I didn't think I was going to love Hawkeye, but I love him. He's just, his kit is so tight, so solid. It's just like, what does Hawkeye do? He shoots arrows from his bow. Okay, cool. Here's a bow, a quiver, and a billion arrows. Like, it's just fun. You always kind of end up having an arrow for any situation, which is kind of part of his shtick too, like having different types of arrows that can do different things. Even though he seems like he's all damage, you can kind of run him in a couple different aspects and he feels good, you know?
Do you have a favorite aspect with him?
I think I've run him in aggression, justice, and leadership before, and he's felt pretty good in all three. Awesome. I'm a big fan of justice myself, so I tend to use justice, and that kind of like helps to round out his kit because he's a little bit more attack heavy than Thwarty or Defendi. So I think if you play him with justice, you kind of have best of both worlds. You've got really strong attacks and you also have good thwarting capabilities. Totally. You're not very defensive at all if you do that, but I think it's solid.
I know that works out perfectly. And you cover both me and Kennedy. Kennedy loves Hawkeye and I love justice. So it was perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfectly balanced answer.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
One more question. Any chance you'll be tagging in for future hero or villain designs for Marvel Champions?
So obviously I can't talk about the future. It's definitely not off the table. I'd love to do more. Arkham's keeping me pretty busy, though. So we'll see.
I would love to see you do a villain. That would be amazingly fun, I think.
That would be a lot of fun. That's a bit trickier because I think what's cool about the hero designs are they're kind of in a vacuum. Aside from the aspect cards, obviously, which need to be integrated to the greater card pool, the individual hero packs kind of exist in a vacuum and are disconnected from everything else that's kind of going on within the greater meta of Marvel. The villains are trickier because they're kind of integrated into, at least the ones in the story boxes, right, are integrated into like a narrative. So that's a bit trickier. It's not off the table by any means, but definitely the easier route would be the hero packs. I would definitely love to do more.
But I feel if anybody could do the narrative villain, it would probably be you.
Thank you.
I had a buddy suggest you should do some sort of Secret Wars thing where the Arkham investigators have to solve some Marvel mystery and the Marvel heroes have to thwart some Lovecraftian monster.
That would be really fun.
Food for thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing Conan the Barbarian, since he's a Marvel property too, then we're perfect.
Do like a like normal Marvel's Earth 616, right? So you do like an Earth version that's Arkham-y, right? Yeah. Arkham is Earth, you know, whatever. 666. That would be funny. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us. Those are all the prepared questions I have. I'll see if Crimson's got any more zingers here at the end.
Yeah, feel free to. I'm an open book, sort of.
Sort of.
I'm an open book, except for any question that that marketing would not want me to answer.
Understandable.
No, my big question was I was really hoping to see a villain from you at some point, and I think that will be something that would be greatly appreciated by the community, too.
Well, I'll bring it up. That being said, yeah, I mean, Arkham's definitely keeping me busy. As you can see with the starter decks, we're doing a lot. We're doing a lot for Arkham.
There's so much product coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is there anything you wanted to say to the Marvel fans about Arkham to get them to try another Fantasy Flight RPG?
Sure, get some cross-promotion. Yeah, if you've never played Arkham and you're a fan of Marvel, it's another co-op game, another co-op deck-building game just like Marvel. The big difference is you're playing through a series of scenarios in a campaign and with a very strong focus on the narrative. Marvel's great because it's a pick up and play kind of game. You could just play like, oh, I've got an hour, I'll just play Marvel. But Arkham is kind of an experience that you delve into. Each campaign is like an 8 scenario cycle spread across 6 different packs and a deluxe box that really kind of takes you through this whole story arc. So yeah, definitely check it out if you're interested. It's cool. It's got a very different feel from Marvel. So there's room for both to exist for sure in your on your shelf,
and you won't go broke because it's a FFG game. So you have to buy $300 worth of stuff every 2 months.
Yeah, and I mean it's co-op, right? So you can buy it at your own pace. Pick up a core set if you like it. You can stop right there, or you can keep going, whatever. And we got these new starter decks. Woo-woo.
That is the thing that got me into FFG games was the LCG model. It is very friendly. As a person who's played Magic all his life, you don't even want to know the amount of money I've spent.
Yeah, same here. I picked up Warhammer Invasion, I think, in 2010, 2009, something like that. And I loved it. I immediately fell in love with the model, and that's what got me into applying for the job, essentially.
Nice. That's a good game, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I honestly, I'm a fan of every LCG that we've ever put out. And I'm not just saying that because I work at FFG. I really do think that our card games are top quality. And that's why I was so thrilled when I got into the card game department. Because it's just like, I get to work on these games? Oh my God. Like, these are great. I've done some work on the side a little bit for some of the other games. Netrunner is actually like my favorite card game of all time. I just think that game is genius. You know what I mean? Yeah. If awesome. You haven't played it, pick it up for sure.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show. We'll catch you again if you potentially do another hero or villain pack.
Thank you. Yeah, if I do, I'd love to be on. That'd be great.